sleep. To be.
Well, hello everyone. Hey, girls and gays.
Hola.
Welcome to Rate, Debate, Recreate. I'm Sammy Purcell.
And I'm Logan Keller.
And we are back with another episode for episode 11.
Whew.
I know, it's crazy. I feel like we just started yesterday. Wow. But Logan, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Can you tell me why? Why did you start getting into musicals as a kid?
Because I was gay and I was like a little gay boy in the closet and I just saw these people like singing and dancing on stage and was like, holy shit.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
Amazing. Well,
what about you, Sammy?
Well, I got into musicals because many reasons, but one of them was I was really bad at math, but that doesn't stop me from loving musicals with numbers in the title.
No, it does not, because this week you're going to be in for quite a treat.
Oh, you definitely are. Well, let's just give a little, after that great intro, I'll just give a little synopsis about what this show is about for all you noobs out there. So, Rate, Debate, Recreate, each week, Logan and I each bring a musical to the table that fits a certain category. We discuss that musical, we rate that musical, we engage in a little friendly debate about that musical. And then at the end, we each recreate an aspect of the musical and try to make it better because we're the experts and we know what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
Stop it, Will. Sorry. Always chewing on the carpet at like 6:15 on Tuesday without fail. Like, God.
We can count on that for Willie.
Willie Nelson. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, this week, as we said, or as we hinted, I guess, the category is shows with numbers in the title.
Wow.
Ooh la la.
Just exquisite. So interesting and smart and
original, never been done before.
Never been done before. Well, so, like we said, we each have a show. This week, mine is the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee.
And my show is Six, the Musical.
Excellent. I'm so excited for this week.
Me too.
In Putnam in high school, holds a very special place in my heart. It's such a lovely show. I'm really excited.
I am excited too. I love both of these shows to death. Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to hear you talk about Six because I don't know much about it besides that the music bangs, but I'm excited. So should we get started with a little summary of each show?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. I'll start with Putnam. So the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee is quite literally about a spelling bee. So you've basically got all these kids who are played by adult actors competing in a spelling bee, and that's the entire show. So I'll go through some of the characters. You've got Olive Ostrovsky, played by yours truly. So Olive is a shy girl. She's got divorced parents. She's waiting for her dad to show up. Her mom is in India, or is she? I don't know. Then you got William Barfey. Barfey. There's an accent, a Q, as he says. So he's this kind of rude, pretty allergic kid who was disqualified last year because he had an allergic reaction to peanuts in the middle of the spelling bee, and he lost. You've got Logan Schwarzengruber. Logan. She's the youngest speller, very politically active. She has two dads. One of them is, he puts a lot of pressure on her, so she kind of deals with that. Then you have Marcy Park, recent transfer, who's new to the bee, smart as fuck. She went to nationals last year. All the kids are kind of like, oh my God. She's your typical overachiever, all-American in hockey, speaks six languages, just the absolute best. So you got Leaf Coney Bear. He's kind of like your resident weird homeschool kid. His family is like a bunch of hippies. He's really only there because he's like the second runner-up and everyone in front of him just like couldn't go. They had to go to a bar mitzvah or something. And then you got Chip Tolentino, who's last year's winner. He's a Boy Scout. He's kind of annoying, in all honesty, and he's disqualified because he gets distracted from an erection while he's looking at Leaf's sister. Classic. And then the adult characters, you have Mitch Mahoney, the comfort counselor, who's an ex-convict who's kind of performing community service. So he, like, has to comfort the kids when they lose and give them juice boxes. Vice Principal Douglas Ponch, who's in love with Rona Peretti, who won the spelling bee in her youth. So they're both kind of the hosts. And then the fun part of this show is you get 3 to 4 spellers who come in from the audience and participate. So there's, like, a lot of improv. If you're playing Rona, which I also brag, had to be Rona in high school. We did, like, A-B casting, and I hated it because I hated improv with a fucking passion. But you have to, like, make up things about the spellers who come from the audience. So you have to, like, stay on your toes, and it's super fun. Yeah, so that's Putnam. And for my rating, probably I would say if we're going by, like, music, I don't think this show has, like, the best just, like, standalone, I'm gonna, like, bang this soundtrack and just listen to it. But as a show, like, absolutely 10 out of 10, accents ague. I think it's just so funny, so much fun. Everyone can do it. It's really heartfelt, and I just love this show. It's wonderful.
Wow. I also love Putnam, and before I give my summary of 6, I do have to say, I have found a flaw in one of the songs in Putnam. Marcy sings this whole ass song about speaking 6 languages. Uh-huh. She speaks 7. They don't include English.
Oh,
at the very end, she's like, j'ai pas parlé, like, she does that whole thing. She speaks in 6 different languages. But none of them are English. Well, maybe, and the whole song's in English.
Maybe she just means I speak 6 other languages. That's fine.
I'm just saying that homegirl doesn't need to sell herself short.
My Marcy. Brag on yourself.
Okay. I shall talk about 6 the musical. So 6 is a musical written by Toby Marlowe and Lucy Moss. They actually wrote this, like, in their senior year at university at Cambridge. I don't know if it was, like, a thesis type thing or not, but they produced it together during their senior year there. And it tells the story of the 6 wives of King Henry VIII. So the, like, divorce, beheaded, died, yeah, divorce,
total
beheaded,
dick.
Survived.
Total dick.
Yeah. so... Yeah, it tells their story. It's presented, however, as a pop concert where all of the queens take turns singing and, like, telling their story. And it's kind of like a competition to see who suffered the most and whoever does should become the lead singer. That's, like, the premise. But at the end, so they each come out and they do their songs and do their thing. However, at the end, there's this whole, like, aha moment when they're all fighting about who had it the worst, where they're like, wait, this trauma porn is, like, the opposite of what we should be doing, blah, 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 blah. And then it's literally, like, not kidding, it's literally, like, they just wink at the audience. And then the whole thing is, like, what if we did this whole thing? So, basically, their whole plan is that they're a girl group. They, like, do this show every night. And they act like it's a competition, but really they're just trying to share their own stories. And the whole story actually is centered at the end, you find out, it's centered around their friendship with each other that they've gained by having him in their life. But, like, the whole story is told from their perspectives and they, like, get to rewrite it from their side of things, which I think really is, like, as we know, history is not... History is written by
his
a certain
story.
People.
His story.
Yeah, it's literally his story, yeah. Which is literally in the show. Okay.
Amazing.
Anyway, I give 6 the Musical also 10 out of 10. Okay, ladies, let's get in reformation.
Wow. We've got a battle on our hands today.
We really do.
Oh, man. Okay. I'm going to rate 6. So I've never been able to see 6, but I've listened through to it, and I think it's really, really fun. I'm just going to spice things up. I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. Okay, ladies, let's get in reformation.
And I'll give Putnam 8.5 accents ague.
8 cents ague. Wow, barfay. Amazing. All right. Should we get started? Little discussion.
Yeah, let's go.
So, wow, you literally just rubbed your hands together like an evil villain.
I literally got my playbill with me.
Oh,
I'm ready.
Oh my god, brag. Wow. Well, I was in Putnam. I actually saw Putnam too. I remember because I was little and my parents took me to like the local theater in like Marietta, Georgia. Shout out. And all they told me was like, we're going to see this show. It's about a spelling bee. And I was so mad. I didn't want to go. I was like, fuck this. And I was such a pill. I was probably like 13. I was such a pill like the entire time, maybe younger. And then it started and it was so, so, so funny. And because I remember this specifically because I asked for audience participation and my mom was like, do you want to do it? And I was like, no, 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 no. And then when I was watching it, I was like, oh, fuck, I should have done that. It would have been fun. Anyway, so where I kind of wanted to start off with this is we have talked about how like both of these are kind of experimental shows. They're both a little different than what you would normally see on a night out. So I think I wanted to start off with a little argument about which is kind of the better experimental show. And would you like to go first or would you like me to go first?
I want to hear what you have to say.
Oh, okay then. So
I can go first if you want me to.
No, I'll go first. Don't worry about it. I'll go first. I think my argument's pretty short and it really only hinges on one thing, because I think that 6 might be like maybe not a better show, but like as far as experimental shows go, like mm-hmm. maybe like a more interesting show. Let's say that. I think like maybe a more mm-hmm. interesting experimental show. But I think Putnam is maybe the best thing that ever happened to community theater. So I think Putnam maybe in general is just like better for the theater community as a whole. Because listen, you can do this show in high school. You can do this show in college. You can do it at your local theater. You can do it at like a whatever the step above that is. You can do it in professional theater. And it just like hits every time. Like, I don't know a person who would go to a version of Putnam, even if it's not like particularly good, like if the people in it aren't like, you know, top level, and like not have a good time. So I think it's just like the perfect show at every single level. It just works. That's really my only argument for it, because I think 6 is maybe like requires like more talent, not more talent, but like requires a different level of like singing ability and like that kind of stuff. But also Putnam,
I honestly think I agree with your statement about community theater. Like, I think it's an extremely accessible show. Mm-hmm. It's really like fun. You can do it a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
I don't know. I agree with that statement.
And it's different every night because you have different people up
there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. 6, I will say. I think, like, as an experimental show, I have literally never seen anything like this on Broadway. Like, it's so, okay, so each of the 6 queens is based off of 2, like, pop divas, both in the style of their music and also in, like, the personality that they mm-hmm. kind of have. And they literally, like, put them in the playbill. That's why I have it. So
you can read it to me.
Like, for example, Catherine of Aragon, her queenspiration is Beyonce and Shakira.
Wow. Does it say queenspiration in the playbill, or did you make that up?
Okay. No, it literally says that in the playbill. However, okay, I'm not going to get to that point yet, but let's just remember that. like, Anne Boleyn is Lily Allen and Avril Lavigne. So I know. And so one thing I love about this is that I don't know. I've never seen anything like this. It's literally a concert, and it's very like Fifth Harmony in terms of them being like I mean, okay, the imagery of a like tight-knit girl group that are like really badass and good at dancing and everything. But then they each, so that's what the first song is, but then they each go into their solos, and what they end up doing is like telling their life story or their like most significant part of their like relationship with Henry and how like he had two of them beheaded, or like they
He's
don't like skip
literal
over the
murderer.
trauma at all. And yeah, and they literally call him out multiple times, like yeah, like the whole show. Yeah, and so they each have their own like personalities. So I love it because it's obviously not like a 100% rewrite of history, but what it is a retelling of the story of King Henry VIII, who is like, I read that in high school. Like, that's like, I feel like a very widely required read for.
I feel like that's one of like that is like a big thing that everyone knows because it's just so insane,
Yeah.
right? Like, what the fuck is this guy doing? And then they like
Yeah.
there's so much media about him. So
And at the end, they're like, when they're doing that whole, like, why are we doing this thing? They're like, well, the only thing we even have in common is him. But then at the end, they're like, okay, well, also, why does everyone remember him? Fucking us. Like,
We're the
do you,
best.
would there be, like, yeah. And they just come together. It's fucking beautiful. It's a beautiful like retelling of the story from the feminist perspective and from all of their perspectives.
I love that. Let me ask you, because I remember when this came out, people were like very much like, oh, this is like King Henry VIII getting like the Hamilton treatment. Do you think that's fair to say? And wait until you answer because I'm gonna yell at the dog again. Move! Okay. Do you think that's fair to say?
What do you mean by the Hamilton
Like
treatment?
just kind of like a retelling of history through like contemporary music. Like I remember like that being a big deal, like maybe that was just like my Twitterverse, but I remember that comparison, that the show got that comparison quite a bit.
Yeah, I can see that for sure, because it's definitely like the music in this show is literally like pop. It's like rap and hip hop. It's R&B. In like a very modern way, I feel like. So I do think it retells history with that musically.
No, it's
I
like
think that they also do a good job of mixing it, especially because this is when, like, I don't even know the exact year.
was only a few
Like the
years ago.
1500s.
Oh, I thought you meant when it came out. King Henry VIII was like a few years ago. Don't you remember?
Like, Sammy.
I used to watch that
Yeah,
show
like the
about him.
1500s.
Like the Tudors. I used to watch that show. So I have like whatever his name is in my head when you're talking about King Henry VIII. Oh man. Well, I agree with all of that. I think like six is definitely, like I said, probably like the better experimental, more interesting show. But Putnam is for everybody. And not that six isn't, but like anyone can put on
No,
Putnam.
yeah.
Especially if you're comfortable singing Better Erections in high school. But it doesn't even matter because they have a different version of the song for that. It's like My Unfortunate Distraction. And I remember, oh my God, when we were in high school, they made us use that one. And the director was so upset that he was just like, well, whatever, we're going to make it known that it's about an erection. So we never said the word, but like everyone knew what was happening.
I
Anyway,
feel like, yeah, high
I'm
schoolers
like,
get
whatever,
it.
we're in high school. Like,
Yeah.
maybe I'm laissez-faire about that, but like,
High
whatever.
schoolers get erections.
Boys get erections when they're like 5, don't they? Like,
Yeah.
they know what's going on.
I know.
And like, nothing else about the storyline changes. So he's still like, oh my God, that girl's so hot. And then just sings My Unfortunate Distraction. Like, literally, that's the only thing that changes. Oh my God. Anyway, I guess I'll talk a little bit about the background of Putnam, because I do think it's also pretty cool, kind of like the background of Six.
Yeah.
So it has music and lyrics by William Finn, who also did Falsettos and A New Brain. Ever heard of them? And a book and a book by Rachel Shankin. I hope that's how you say that. And it's based off of an improvisational play called CREPUSCULE, which spells crepuscule. That's how you say that. Crepuscule. Yes.
Crepuscule.
Crepuscule, which is one of the words in the show. I think Barfay spells it because he has to do it with his magic foot. So that was it was an improvisational play, which was performed by The Farm in New York, which is an improvisational comedy troupe. And I guess William Finn somehow saw the show, thought it was really awesome, and thought it could be transformed into a musical. Obviously, he was right. And the 2005 Broadway production was directed by James Lapine, who also, you might remember him from our Into the Woods episode, all the way back to episode one. He wrote the book for Into the Woods, so he's also a book writer. And Falsettos as well. So he collaborates with Sondheim and also collaborated with William Finn before. And I think what I love so much about this show and why I do think it's like deceptively, while it's like a great community theater, local theater, high school theater, whatever you want, show to put on, it's not hard for the show to be entertaining overall, but it is incredibly hard to get it like really right because of like they have adults playing kids. And that to me, I don't know about you, but I always feel like that's super risky. Like it rarely pays off. Like Florence Pugh did it in Little Women last year, and I think she did a really great job. But there's like a really fine line you have to walk of like acting like a kid and not making the kid a cartoon, because like a kid is still a person, right? They have like real feelings. And I think it's just really risky having adults play kids. Like they're bound to go over the top. And I think when you see this show done really well, it's with people who don't lose sight of the fact that like kids, again, like I said, have real feelings and are people, not just kids. Because each kid, I mean, they're like funny and ridiculous throughout, like Logan, Schwartz and Grubiner. Like she's like a very like personal character and like really funny. But you also have to like dig into like, okay, like there are these really emotional and heartbreaking things about her, and like, yeah, she's like this overly politically active kid who like stands on a chair and is like, women have rights, and like does all this stuff. But she also has these two dads who, and she gets made fun of at school, and one of them is like super overbearing and like tries to make her cheat during the spelling bee. So it's just, I think it's a really fine line to walk because the show is over the top and is ridiculous, but you have to be able to land like the comedy and also land the super sad moments. And I think I mentioned Logan because I think her and Leaf are like especially kind of difficult as far as like landing the comedy and landing the emotional stuff, because they're both like the silliest, but they both have some of the saddest stuff.
They really do.
I don't know. I could just like, the problem with me talking about the show is I just could talk about like what I love about it for like years. So I don't know. It's difficult. I love it. It's great.
Okay. One thing I wanted to do is like an extended bop list, because I just want to go. This is like a show where I think every single song, like I just want to like touch on. So I'm going to do a speed round through the show. Ex-wives open the show. So in the ex-wives, all of them are introducing themselves as the ex-wives, and it starts off kind of like Cell Block Tango-y. And it goes to the tune of like the divorced, beheaded, died, divorced, beheaded, survived. Amazing song, major bop. So then you find out it's like the concert, they're like trying to find out who suffered the most at the hands of Henry. So Catherine comes out, she's the one who's based off of Shakira and Beyonce. And this whole song is about her relationship with Henry and how he like left her for this next girl who he beheaded. And it's a song also where like obviously the other person in the group is would have been like the villain at the time, because she like came in, but she doesn't blame her at all. It's like entirely on Henry. I don't know. I really, really like that about it. Anne Boleyn, ooh, she
Iconic.
is, yeah, iconic. She's based off of Lily Allen and Avril Lavigne, and this whole song is about, it's like, don't lose your head. Ooh, poor girl, she ends up losing her head,
She literally
getting
does. So,
beheaded. But
yike.
this is kind of like a punk, like bubblegum pop kind of like
Lily Allen.
anthem.
Sounds kind of like Lily
Yeah.
Allen.
Heart of Stone. So she's like the awkward one, Jane Seymour. She's the only one that actually, from at least from the perspective of Six the Musical, the only one that actually liked Henry and like she loved him. The whole thing was like her, she died in childbirth and didn't get to like be a mother to her son. So like that's like her story. But they also portray her as kind of like weird and awkward, not in a mean way, in a really cute way. But then she sings a song, Heart of Stone, which is Adele and Sia are the inspirations, and like belts the fuck out of it
You sent
and
me that
compares her,
video.
like,
Is it
yeah, I
Abby Mueller?
know,
Oh
Abby
my
Mueller,
God.
yeah,
Whew, buddy.
it's so good. Connor watched it with me the other day, my roommate Connor, and he was like, every time I see that, I like cry. And I was like, yeah, I like really
It's
can't watch
completely
that without
fair.
crying.
No, it's absolutely insane. Like, look it up, Heart of Stone. It's insane. I wish I could do that. I can't. Maybe I'll do that for our next
Yeah.
TikTok.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
No, thank
Yes.
you.
Okay, so then we have House of Holbein. This is like the literal definition of camp. It's like a German polka techno vibe. And literally, the whole thing is about the House of Holbein, and they're getting ready for Anna of Cleves, who's the next queen that's about to have their solo. But they go through the process of what it looks like to get like pumped up and freshened up for like the pictures. And it's so fucking funny. They like all wear these little things around their neck, and the lighting makes them like green, and they do this like crazy choreo. And yeah, 10 out of 10. Get Down, Anna of Cleves.
This one
So
is
this
good.
one is literally my favorite. She's based off of Nicki Minaj and Rihanna. Like, enough said. And her whole
Absolutely right.
thing is like, she was the one who he saw her portrait and like chose her to be his wife because of how beautiful she was, and then
She
he
showed
met
up
her,
and he was
and
like,
yeah,
dick.
so they paint it as like a Tinder moment. They literally have them like swipe left and right, and then he swipes right on her. But then she just like goes off to her own like little kingdom because like she gets the good side of the divorce, and she just talks about how she like lives her life away. It's a very tongue-in-cheek thing. She's like, oh, I guess I didn't have it that bad, and like talks about all the bad bitch stuff she was
Yeah,
doing.
so at least I did get beheaded.
Yeah.
God.
Then Katherine Howard, All You Want to Do. This is Ariana Grande and Britney Spears. This one is like the singing is unbelievable in this song. And this one's also a really, really tragic song. Like, it basically is like all of her experiences with men and how they've like tainted her in a different way, and all the ways that she's been like mistreated. And it ultimately like literally just leads to all of that her whole life, and then she gets beheaded. I
That's
know,
it.
it's literally
Really
she like
shitty.
destroys it and then ends the song like sobbing.
Oh.
10 out of 10. And then I Don't Need Your Love, Kathryn Parr destroys it. She's based off Alicia Keys and Emily Sand. Yeah.
Wow.
And like brings it all together. 10 out of 10. And then we close it with 6. I literally love every single song in the show. And also, like, there's legitimately not a best queen. When this show was on West End, for the Olivier Awards, all of the queens were nominated as one, like all of them, because they're, yeah, like it was a really, I think that was a really cute nod.
That's so nice.
Yeah, but like I genuinely like agree with that. Like there's, it's genuinely like they're all evenly spread out. It's supposed to be like this group effort thing.
Yeah. Wow, that's so nice. I also think all those like pop star pairings are very inspired. Like Ariana Grande and
Right?
Britney Spears, like
Oh, just wait.
oh my God, that's amazing. Wow. Well, Putnam, as a segue, doesn't necessarily have like the same type of soundtrack, to say the least. Not at the same level, I don't think, but hits differently as a whole, right? So like if you go and you want to like listen to Putnam, I think there's maybe like, if I'm looking at the soundtrack right now, there's like maybe four or so songs that I would just be like, yeah, I'll listen to that. But if I'm gonna listen, I'm gonna listen all the way through and maybe skip the goodbye songs because they're just like sporadically in there, and they also it, like they play them all the time because it just like depends each night how many people get sent home. But I do want to talk a little bit about a few songs that I think like really hit. So
Can
we've
I
got.
guess one because I think it's mine?
Sure.
The I Love You song.
All right, we can just talk about it first. Oh my God.
Oh, that's my favorite song in the show.
It is, and I think it's like maybe one of the most, I don't want to, it's like unexpected. Right? Like you're kind of watching this thing happen, and there have been there are emotional parts in the show, no doubt. Like, I mean, like the I'm not that smart. I'm not that smart is funny, but it's also like fucking sad. And then he has to sing that
Yeah.
reprise, and like he's literally like, my parents have been telling me that for years. Like, that's really fucked up, dude.
Yeah.
And then I mean, there's Marcy's whole like literal come to Jesus moment, and literally
Literal.
Jesus comes down and says, Marcy, it's okay to be a fuck up.
Yes.
It's fine. But and then like Logan's stuff with her dad's is pretty emotional, and like she, when like she thinks they're going to be disappointed in her if she loses and all that stuff. But like Olive's parents, let's just talk about Olive's parents because I have some questions about what's
Okay.
actually going on.
Ask
So
away.
Olive sings My Friend the Dictionary, lovely little ditty, lovely song. And she talks about how her mother is in an ashram in India. And she earlier in the show, like specifically, if I remember correctly, specifically says, like, my mom's on a 9-month trip. Which, like, 9 months? That's weird. That sounds like pregnancy.
Interesting.
And her, obviously, like, her parents aren't really together. And her dad, she's like waiting for her dad to show up the whole time. Like, My Friend the Dictionary literally begins with like, oh sir, like excuse me, could you not sit in that seat? And then like talks about how she's been saving this like seat for her dad, and she's so excited for her dad to come. And then you finally get the I Love You song, and her mom does show up. Like, I don't know, when we did it, we had her mom dressed in like, she, I think she's even wearing like a sari to like symbolize that she
Yeah,
was
I've
in
seen that in a lot of
India.
versions. Yeah.
Yeah. And then her dad also shows up, and I just think this song is so sad. It's just about a girl like wanting her parents to love her. And literally the I Love You song, so her the song kind of just both of her parents are telling her they love her, but it's all a dream. So the song is centered around the word chimerical, which means wildly fanciful, highly unrealistic. And she's singing like just standing there, and when, so again, brag, I was Olive in high school as a sophomore. But you just stand there and have to like listen to these two people sing, for part of it at least, listen to these two people saying I love you to you. They just say I love you over and over and over again, and you just stand there. And then at the end she has to spell the word, and she spells it, and she goes, highly unrealistic, wildly fanciful. I'm like, this 12-year-old has never heard I love you in her entire life from her parents. It's just like, again, it comes out of fucking left field almost. Like, but not in a bad way. Like, it's not like, what the fuck is going on? It's just like, I didn't expect to be hit in the gut so hard by this fucking show. Like,
yeah,
it is absolutely, it's, first of all, it's just a beautiful song and it's just absolutely gut-wrenching. And I think her mom like left her dad. That's my take. I think her mom is gone.
I think so too.
Because she also has that line.
Also, like, Lisa Howard in the original cast as the mom is incredible.
She's also Rona. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But her,
the virus.
Yeah. She has that line. Olive has the line in the song about her dad. Like, I think he takes out on me what he wants to take out on you. And I don't think that's like anything physical. Like, I don't get that vibe. But just like someone who's been like emotionally hurt and is like transferring that emotional hurt onto his 12-year-old, which is also fucked up. But like,
I agree with that assessment. And I have seen productions where they literally paint it as physical.
The production, like, I was in was painted as physical. Yeah.
Like, they literally like show. Yeah. In the background, like a guy like beating in a shadow kind of situation.
Yeah, and that was how when I did it, the director took it that way. I don't think it's that way.
I agree that it doesn't have to be. Yeah, and I don't know.
Yeah, because I think, I don't know. I just think like everything to me points to like a child who like just like desperately wants to hear "I love you" from either one of her parents. And has made up this story about her mom going to India for like 9 months, which that's the other thing. 9 months is like very specific. Is her mom pregnant, or did her mom lie to her? I really think her mom like left, and her father is just obviously like very upset and is taking out his emotions on his child. And it is, it's just like absolutely, lutely heartbreaking. Like, there's no other way to put it. I cry every time I listen to it. I like cry when I see it. It's just so, so heartbreaking. Oh, man, I don't know what to say anymore. Like, the rest of the other songs.
Period.
Like, I know, I'm just like.
Period.
Because I like a lot of other songs. Like, I'll just kind of like look here. Again, like My Friend the Dictionary is very, very, very sweet. And like Olive herself is like just so, just like an awkward little smart kid and just, but really cute. There's also, let's see, Pandemonium, really fun. God damn it. We also couldn't say God damn it when I was in high school. But I'm Not That Smart, again, I think a quietly sad song. Magic Foot, which is Barfait's big number, which is a really fun dance number if done well, I think. Also, so obviously, like, he and Olive develop like a little relationship, and there's just a sweet little moment where he realizes that her name backwards spells I love, and he just sits there and goes, "Olive, I love. Olive, I love. Olive, I love. Olive, I love. Olive." And it's so, so, so cute. Woe Is Me, a really great showcase and a really like just like sad song about putting too much pressure on your kids. Don't put too much pressure on your kids. I Speak Six Languages, same deal.
Oh, I love that one.
Also perform that. Brag. But not in the show, just like showcase thing. But and then I think the show has a really, really great finale. And it so the final two spellers, spoiler alert, are Barfait and Olive. And they're also the two who kind of have like a cute little crush on each other. It's very sweet. And they have this like very sweet little duet about how they think they like each other, but neither one of them wants to come in second. And they just like, it's just so sweet. It's just really cute. Like a very, very funny depiction of like being 12 and thinking someone's cute, but also being kind of ambitious beyond your years. It's sweet. I think the show is so, so, so cute. That's just the perfect word for it. And like really fucking funny if it's done right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, we've kind of run through songs, so we did bop one, sort of. And my recreate, should we move on to recreate, first of all?
I'm ready, yeah.
So my recreate, I think yours might be a little more like, not, I don't want to say funnier because I'm funny, but just a little more like in depth than mine. So I'll go first, if that's okay.
Okay, so, yes, and I don't know if that's true.
I was just thinking, so I sat down and I thought, like, okay, a spelling bee. Like, when I was, whatever, 12 years old or however old I was, and my parents were like, we're going to see this musical about a spelling bee. I was like, fuck that. So I was thinking about, like, what else I would have said fuck that to. Like, a weird thing to make a musical about. And I thought of a couple examples, three examples to be exact, and then changed some of the song titles to reflect that musical instead of the Spelling Bee musical. So we've got the 25th Annual Putnam County Science Fair. It's like obvious choice, you know, like school competitions. So instead of My Friend the Dictionary, we've got My Friend Electricity. I decided I'm not that smart, can stay the same, like some kid who's doubting themselves. Instead of Magic Foot, I was like, Diet Coke, because of Diet Coke and Mentos when you blow up the volcano. Oh my god, crack myself up. My Unfortunate Erection is about the same thing, but becomes My Unfortunate Explosion.
Oh. So is it an erection, or is it...
The other thing, quite possibly, I don't know, it might need to be about high schoolers or like college kids to make that appropriate. And then instead of the I Love You song, it's the Volcano song. And they're like kind of singing it to their volcano that they also made from Diet Coke and Mentos. And then the other idea I had was the 25th Annual Putnam County Hot Dog Eating Contest. So instead of I'm not that smart, I have I don't like hot dogs. I'm just trying to think of the, like, I don't belong here song. And I don't like hot dogs made sense for this. And instead of Magic Foot, there's a guy who sings Magic Tums. And then there's a song called Why We Like Spelling, which isn't usually, it wasn't in the show I did. I don't think it's really in the show sometimes, but sometimes it is, I guess. Unclear. Instead of Why We Like Spelling, it's Why We Like Eating. And then we have Prayer of the Comfort Counselor, which I haven't talked about Mitch Mahoney a lot, but he's pretty funny, and he has a great song called Prayer of the Comfort Counselor. It's the act one closer, I believe, and he just basically goes into this whole like gospel goodbye song. So it's like the final goodbye, it's the final audience member leaving the stage. So instead of Prayer of the Comfort Counselor, I thought it could be like Prayer of the Janitor, because like maybe some contestants throw up and he has to clean it up. And instead of I Speak Six Languages, I Speak Six Languages, it's I Eat 100 Hot Dogs.
Oh, all God. American. All American and all beef.
Oh, man. And then the last one I had was the 25th Annual Putnam County Child Beauty Pageant, which could be a social critique. Ooh. Thank you. Instead of My Friend the Dictionary, it's My Friend Fake Eyelashes. I'm Not That Smart becomes I'm Not That Cute, and it's very, very sad. Instead of Magic Foot, it's Magic Feet, like if someone's talent is dancing. I thought I Speak Six Languages could stay the same, because maybe that's your talent.
Oh, yeah, that could be someone's talent section.
You speak six languages. And then I don't really know why this would be, like, where this fits in, but Life is Pandemonium has the same amount of syllables as Miss Congeniality. So I figured maybe that song could somehow be about Miss Congeniality. Yeah, that's really all I had. I was just trying to come up with, like, dumb stuff, but it was fun.
I love it.
All right, hit me with it. Logan texted me before this started and was like, I have a challenge for you.
Yes, it's not a difficult one, though.
Okay, thanks.
So, as I mentioned, all of the queens are based off of two pop stars. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to think of I wholeheartedly love and agree with the queens and the pop stars they chose. But there are also so many iconic
Of
pop
course.
stars and also vibes, because a lot of it is like the character vibe that they're trying to give off, that weren't used in this. So I wanted to think of some additional ones, one for each queen that is a new inspiration of what it could be based off of. And I'm going to ask you to also give one. So you have to
Ooh,
think of like two
okay.
pop divas that fit into a certain category together that could like put off a vibe of a queen.
Ooh, okay. Hit me.
Okay, so as a reminder, the existing ones are Beyoncé, Shakira is like the pop and dancey vibe. Kate Bush and Avril Lavigne is like the bubblegum kind of like rock pop song. Adele and Sia is the like belt song. Nicki Minaj and Rihanna is the like rap, like I'm on my own shit song. Ariana Grande and Britney Spears is like young and poppy. And then Alicia Keys and Emily Sade is the like R&B, like closing it out. So here are my proposals for new queens. The vibe, modern R&B queens. The two people would be based off of Ari Lennox and SZA.
Okay, I like that.
Next vibe, emo. And it would be Hayley Williams from Paramore and Amy Lee from Evanescence. next, Neo Soul, Erykah Badu and Lauryn Hill. That just like has to happen. okay, like country, kind of like more alty vibes. Brandi
Country.
Carlile and YOLA.
Yola. Fucking love Yola, man.
I know.
She's so dope.
This one's like, I think my favorite. This one's like new pop. Charli XCX and Grimes. And then, couldn't you so imagine that though? Like as a
I can.
vibe, like a really like ditzy and like
I see it. I see it. I get it.
airy. Okay, and the last one is like pop rock like lyricists. So Lorde and Saint Vincent.
Okay, so I have to come up with like one person for each one.
Oh, I was just thinking like you could just come up with another two people that were in a cut. I don't know, you can do whatever you
Oh,
want.
I was thinking I have to like come up with a person who could be added on to this.
Oh. You
So I
can do
was like
that
literally
too.
like thinking in my head like who the
I was
fuck?
thinking like
Like
what's another like
what's
duo
another
of like
duo? Okay. So do you have
yeah.
any like so you have country alt, which I like the Brandi Carlile Yola vibe, but you could just do like straight pop country. Like you could do like Maren Morris vibes with like I'm trying to think. Maren Morris vibes. I don't wanna I think Kacey Musgraves is a fun one because she's like kind of trippy.
Yeah.
But I wonder if it would be like a fun little wrench to throw in like Maren Morris, Shania Twain vibes. Like bring
Ooh.
some man, I feel like a woman into this bitch, which I like that. I
Interesting.
think that could be fun.
Yeah.
And they both kind of got like the pop country thing going on, but like different
Yeah.
decades, so spanning it a little bit.
And they could like have bits of both.
Yeah, I that's my take. That's
I
my
love
contribution. Thank you.
it. Thank you.
Wow, that was fun. I feel like I just was like, this is just so good the whole time.
Yeah, I really love both of these
I
shows.
know.
Like,
It's hard to like talk shit about them because I just don't have many bad things to say.
fuck your show, Sammy.
Fuck six. Just kidding. Should we talk about what's coming next week? I don't have it pulled up, so I'm trying to find it, but do you know?
I think so. Yeah,
You
I know
know?
it.
Okay, well you can be the one to announce then. Drum
Okay.
roll. Bada 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 bada.
Protagonist sees things that aren't there. What two
Wow.
shows could it
What
be?
could they
I'm
be?
gonna be honest, I really, really love both of these next shows that we're gonna talk about.
Me too. I'm excited. Wow, I feel like every week I'm just like, I'm so excited. But I truly am. It's always fun.
Always a pleasure,
Always a
mate.
pleasure. All right. Well, I guess we'll see y'all next week.
Yes, we will.
Yeah. All right.
Goodbye. We love
Goodbye.
you.
Goodbye.
Please hire us.
Please, please, I'm available.
Rare.
Thank you.